Our gospel this morning comes from the second chapter of the gospel according to John, beginning with the 13th verse. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. I want to tell you a story that in many ways I am not proud of. The story of my first checking account and the first ever check that I wrote out of that account. So every noon hour when I was in high school, as soon as the bell rang, we would rush out the doors of the school, jump in cars, and we would go to one of two places. We'd either head down to the grade school where the hot lunch program was served, or we'd go cruise Maine, probably stopping at Johnson's Red Owl to pick up some none too nutritious snacks to eat over noon. This particular day, we had gone uptown. We had gone to Johnson's Red Owl. I grabbed some chips and a soda. We spent our time driving around, telling stories, laughing. Noon hour was about over, and we headed north back to the high school. A couple of blocks from the school, I rolled down my window and threw out the empty bag of chips. All of a sudden, lights were flashing behind us. We were pulled over. A police officer came to the back window passenger side where I was sitting, invited me over to his car for a conversation. I received a ticket. Headed home that night on the bus, after an hour-long ride, I went down into my room, got my first ever checkbook, and wrote out my first ever check to the City of Garrison Municipal Court, dropped it in the mail, and I thought I was done with it. About a week later, after getting home from school, the phone rings at the farm. Mom answers it. She says it's for me. I pick it up, and it is Dale Zimmerman, municipal judge, Garrison, North Dakota. Now, I didn't know Dale well. I knew who he was. He was a towering man, 6'20" something tall, thin as a rail, leathery skin, balding head, and the hair that he had was cut back short, shorter than mine. He always looked like an imposing figure who was never very happy. "So you got a ticket?" "I did." "You coming to court tonight?" "Well, I wasn't planning on it. I sent the fine in." "I think you should come down and we should talk." It was at that moment that I informed my mother about my ticket, got permission to drive the car the 16 miles to Garrison, and went to city court. There was no one else there except His Honor. We had a conversation. "So you threw out a potato chip bag?" "Yep." Not very smart, indeed, especially since it was in front of the police officer's home. Yes. The conversation continued. He handed me back my check, and he said, "Don't do it again." I drove home that night, wondering about all of this. And this day, as I stand before you, ideas of law and gospel dance in my head, because that is at work in the midst of that story and in the midst of our texts this morning. In the reading from Exodus, the giving of the law, God gifted the faithful Jewish people with laws for a simple reason. Because God understood that if we were able to follow the laws that God laid down, life would go better for us, all of us. It is out of deep love that God gifted all of these laws that day. The first set of laws, when you break the Ten Commandments down, the beginning set of them are all about our relationship with God. They declare that God is God, and if that is true, then that means for certain that we are not. There is no other, whether it is a being or a thing, that we should follow or worship. And it is a clear word that freedom does come, but it doesn't come from us. In the very beginning, God says, "I'm the one who brought you out of captivity." God heard the call of the chosen people, heard about their bondage and their slavery to Egypt, heard their cries, and acted through Moses. And in the midst of these words, God is saying, "I'm a jealous God. I love you so much that I've done all of this for you. Now worship me and me alone. Use my name in the right ways to call upon me in joy and thanksgiving. Understand my depth of love for you." Then God continues on talking about how we should live with one another. That's the other half of those Ten Commandments. Don't lie, don't kill, don't steal. Because how we live daily in the midst of one another makes a difference. If you want things to go well in your life, do these things. And then God continues on, "Don't commit adultery, don't covet either your neighbor's family members or your neighbor's property. Because what you have is enough. Be thankful for all that you have, the relationships, the things, and everything else." It's all simple enough. It is a great gift, as I said, a gift that God gave to us. For the faithful Jewish people, it was understood that the gift of the law is almost like a fence. The rules set up a fence. If you live within them, life will be good. That's all true. But the rules do not bring life. We move into the New Testament and this reading from the Gospel of John. Second chapter, so it is very early on in John laying out what John wants us to know about this one who came into our world with deep love and grace. Remember how John introduces Jesus? Jesus is the light of the world, the light which no darkness can overcome. And in him was life. This is the gift that is being brought in and in the midst of this text. If you stand back and look what's going on, Jesus is saying, I'm going to turn this whole religious world upside down. You see, what's going on in the temple is what needed to go on in the temple at that time. It was expected that faithful Jewish people, when they came on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, that they would sacrifice at the temple. And if you've traveled for several days, you're not going to travel with the ox that you're going to slaughter or with sheep. It's just going to make the journey too difficult. So there had to be animals in the temple available for the sacrifice. The money changers are doing what money changers do. It was wrong for the faithful Jewish people to take their Roman or their Greek money, which had the image of people on them, like Caesar, who thought he was God on earth. It would have been idolatrous to drop that into the offering in the temple, so the money was changed. That was what faithful Jewish people did. But Jesus is saying, all of this is being turned upside down. And remember, in the New Testament, Jesus says, I didn't come to wipe out the law. I've come to fulfill it. So the law continues to stand in place. But it is life that comes through Jesus. This one who stepped in our place to the cross, taking all of our sins and sinfulness upon him and giving us this incredible gift of life. Law and gospel dance in these texts today and invite us into this deep understanding of God's incredible grace. I've never thrown a piece of trash from a moving vehicle since my conversation with Municipal Judge Dale Zimmerman. So was it the law that changed me? Or was it the gospel? I'm still pondering that. They both have their roles in our lives. Law confronts us with our sin and sinfulness. Law curves us in so that we care for our neighbors as well, the way we live with them and the way we care from them. But here's the bottom line. The light has come into the world. The light gifts us with grace and mercy, forgiveness and freedom, and an opportunity for repentance and new life. An incredible gift for us to live into this day and every day. Amen.